Are you ready to get into God's Word? Man, I know I am. I tell you, I last week we started a message series, or I think it's going to turn into a series. I got maybe one more after this, but I just started talking about God's will. And a few weeks ago, I preached a message, and it had some things in it about God's will, and I just could not get it off of my heart. Because I know for me and for you, if we are going to be spiritually mature, we have to walk in God's will, don't we? And so it's so important for us to know God's will. And so I know last week I asked you this question, and I want to ask you it again. But how many of you sincerely, am I ringing? It sounds a little ringy up here. But how many of you sincerely want God's will for your life? Just raise your hand. Wow, almost every one of us in here, and I want you to know that's awesome. And my prayer is by the time these messages are over, that every hand in this place will just go up, and I want God's will for my life. That's my prayer as we finish this series. Because, you know, when it comes to God's will, you know, I don't think that we really struggle with wanting God's will. I think sometimes we struggle with waiting on God's will. And sometimes we struggle with discerning God's will, don't we? And so we want it, but we just don't really know what it is. And I've noticed that there's kind of like this common thing that happens with Christians is when we have a big decision to make, like, should I go there, or should I do this, or should I do that, that we pray about it, but then we tend to overthink. We overthink it, and we analyze every angle of it, and we sometimes will do a pros and a cons, if you will, and then we pray about it again, and then we still feel like we're stuck, and we still don't feel like we have the answers. Because I think for so many of us, deep down, we're afraid that we're going to miss God's will. We're going to miss that perfect moment, right? Like, we might make the wrong decision, or we might take the wrong job, or we might marry the wrong person, and we end up having the wrong life. And that's a lot of pressure, isn't it? Especially for people that can't even figure out what we're going to have for lunch today, right? That's a big decision. And you know, I get it. I really do. I get it. I understand it. And the thing is that for so many of us, I think we don't realize that while we're chasing the perfect answer for tomorrow, that a lot of times we're missing out on what God wants for us today. And so that's why we talked about this principle last week, and it's one of the biggest mistakes that I think that many of us make as Christians is trying to discern God's will. We tend to overcomplicate God's will, and we underestimate God's goodness, don't we? And so we think it's like that dot on a map that we talked about last week, that if we hit it, we hit it. If we miss it, we miss it. And what we do is we find out that God is there, and He guides us, and He directs us, and He counsels us, and His loving eye is upon us. We read that scripture last week. And so I want to work through God's Word a little bit today and continue to try to uncomplicate, if you will, God's will, all right? And so I want to show you something about God's Word today. And I'm really not, I don't believe that this is an overstatement at all when I make this statement. I think that this statement literally, it has the potential to change your life, all right? And it genuinely does. I believe it with all my heart. And here's what we tend to do. So many of us as Christians, we tend to think about God's will in terms of what we do. Like, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do next? What do you want me to do later? God, what do you want me to do? And I said this in a few messages back, and this is what really stuck with me, is the challenge is that at a deeper level, if you will, God isn't thinking, do, 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 do. But God is, His will is more about a who than it is a do. And that's the statement that has stuck with me and has been shaping me over the last few weeks. And so that when you look at God's Word, I believe you'll find out that He's more concerned about who you're becoming And he's more concerned about if you're becoming more like Jesus than he is about what job you take or where you live. You see, God is more concerned about with who you are, your character, the way that you treat people, than he is about your profession. Because we know that before God guides your step, he actually wants to shape your character. He wants to shape you into his form and in his image. Amen. He wants you to be conformed to be like him. And so when you look at God's will, it's not just about what do I major in college, or what job do I take, or where do I live, but it's about your heart. It's about your character and your relationship with him. Okay? And that's why knowing God's will starts with knowing God's heart. That's where it all begins, is knowing God's heart. And that's why today the title of my message is Don't Overcomplicate God's Will. We tend to do it so much. Let's pray together, okay? Father God, we ask you today that you would guide us through your word. And Lord, that you would help us to become more like you. Help us to love like you. Help us to know you today. And God, I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. And so today we're talking about God's will. And when we do that, I think that many of us were tempted, and I know I am, is we're tempted to tend to look upon all of the big things that we consider in life, right? We consider those things whenever we look at God's will, the big choices like, God, where do you want me to live? God, do I rent or do I buy? Should I buy this house right now with the market the way it is? You know, and God, should I get married right now? Should I marry this person? And if so, God, do we have kids now? Do we have kids later? Do we have one? Do we have two? Do we have three? And Lord, help us if we have four, you know. I mean, those numbers got high quick, didn't they? And then we tend to think about stuff like, well, should we put them in private school or public school or should we homeschool? You know, we have all these major choices in life that we tend to obsess over, but we do that with very little thought sometimes about our daily choices that shape who you and I actually are becoming. And then when you look at God's word, and we're going to look at a lot of that today, it actually says that it says very little about your future. Did you know that? God's word says very little about your future. It doesn't talk about like who you should marry. It doesn't talk about where you should live. Doesn't talk about what job you should take. In fact, whenever Jesus talked in the Bible about jobs, most of the time he talked about people leaving their jobs to follow him. He didn't talk about what they were doing. He was talking about, hey, leave what you're doing and come follow me. So when you look at God's word, he's not talking about the future, but he talks a whole lot about how you and I should treat people today and how you should use your money today. And how you should think today and what you should do with your time today. There's a whole lot in there. And when Jesus talks about the future, I want to show you what he says in John. Jesus is saying this in Matthew 6:34. He says this. He says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Wow. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Today's trouble is enough for today. So don't worry. It's pretty plain. Don't worry. And then we see in James 4:13-15, when James is talking about the future, this is what he says. He says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city and spend a year there carrying on business and making money, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or that. You see, when we're looking at God's will, he's not trying to get you to figure out the future. God wants you to seek him and to know him today. Today. He wants you to serve him today. He wants you to be led by the Spirit today. You see, he wants you to have the fruits of the Spirit today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He wants you to have those things today. And when we say those things and we think about it, do we have those things today? Is that fruit being bared in our lives today? And so my question is, if you want to know God's will, you got to get to know God's heart. And the more you get to know God's heart, the more you'll get to know him through his word, right? It's through his word that he speaks to us most of the time. And it's his word that renews our minds, the Bible says. And so then when his word renews your mind, then you start walking by faith and not by sight. And you let God guide your steps today towards his will for your life. You see, it's a lot about today, not about the future. What are we doing today? And so when we realize the best way to find God's will for your future is to faithfully live for Jesus today, it becomes a game changer. I mean, it's a real game changer in your life when you realize the best way to find God's will is to live for him today. And so God is not so much about a do as much as he is about a who, right? And so the more you get to know him and the more you faithfully live for him today, the more confidence that you and I can have that he's going to lead and guide us to where he wants us to be tomorrow. And so now, if you weren't here last week, I do want to review over some things, some important principles that we talked about. We talked about four different aspects of God's will, and we started with God's sovereign will. Okay, so God's sovereign will is God's master plan. There's nothing that can change that. This is his plan. It's been set in motion. Nothing can change that. We also talked about God's moral will for just a little bit, and we're going to talk more about that today. But this is his revealed will. This is God's revealed will on how you and I should live today. And so we talked about God's permissive will. That was the third one that we talked about. And we know that God gave us free will because he loves us, right? And he gave us the choice to choose. And the thing is that some people make bad choices. And things that aren't pleasing to God. And so the reason we do that is because we live in a broken world, right? We live in a broken world. And things that God sometimes allows, he didn't plan them, he didn't cause them, but sometimes he allows them and then he uses them towards his sovereign will. Because we know that all things work good for the glory of God, right? And so we talked about God's personal will. And this is what every one of us wants. You know, we all want to know what God's personal plan is for our life. And I want you to know that God had plans for you before you were even born, that his word will reveal to you his personal will just for you and just for me. And so today, I want us to talk about God's moral will for our life. Or his revealed will for your life. And the reason I say or revealed will is because that's where we find out the morals and the values that God wants us to live by. He reveals them through his word, and he reveals his moral will to us. And so what is God's moral will for you? We talked about it really briefly last week, but it's not that you become a big famous YouTube sensation, is it? I mean, that'd be cool, but that's not God's will for you, right? And it's not that you would even be a stay-at-home mom. You see, God's moral will for you is revealed in his word. And we looked at it last week, and the word is to be holy. His will is for you and I to be holy. And so I want to build on that. If you remember, the Greek word for holy was hagios, right? And that means to be set apart, to be different, to be sacred and dedicated to God. And so God's moral will for you and I is for us to be different from this sinful, selfish world that we live in. It's to be set apart, to be sacred, and to be dedicated to God. And this is what Paul's talking about in Romans 12:2 when he says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world." So in other words, what he's saying is, he says, don't be like this fallen world. He says, don't speak like them. Don't act like them. Don't treat people like them. Don't be entertained by the same things that they are entertained by. Don't use your money like them. Don't raise your kids like them. Come on, somebody. As a kids pastor, I remember I would have a lot of parents, and they would say, oh, you know, I was raised in church, and boy, I want my kids to be raised in church. And then I would be there the next Sunday, and where are they at? They wasn't here. They wasn't bringing their kids. You see, so we need to raise our kids different than this world. And I got a little bit off on that, but I'll get back to my notes now, all right? But instead, what we need to do is we need to have values that honor Jesus. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, all right? Again, I say this, the more you get to know God, the more you get to know his heart, the more you get to know God's will for your life. It's by the renewing of your mind. And then you watch this, the rest of that verse says this. The rest of that verse says, it says, then. So after you have not been conformed to the patterns of the world, but you've let your mind be transformed, he says, but then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Did I say that right? I said it right. Okay. And so I thought I got off. So before you worry about his will for the future, okay? Before you worry about the future and his will for that, worry about God's moral will for how you live today. This is so important for us to get. It starts today. Today. Now, I know that we're to be set apart and we're to be holy. And some of you are saying to yourself, you know, well, I always thought that God would have this big, amazing plan and calling for my life. And he does. And you're like, well, isn't he calling me to be a missionary, or isn't he calling me to be a pastor, or isn't he calling me to be a Christian influencer, or isn't he calling me to marry somebody with a second house in Hawaii? You know, I mean, maybe he is. Who knows? But what we have to do is we have to remember that God's will, his calling for you is more about a who than it is a do. All right? I want us to look at 2 Timothy 1:9. It says this. It says this. It says, for God saved us and called us. What did he call us to? To live a holy life, right? You see, it's more about a who. It's not what we do. It's not what we do, but it is who we are today. He's called us to live this holy life. And then it goes on to say, God did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And so that's why when it comes to seeking God's will for our lives, you might want to change the question that you're asking. You know, most of the people, we ask this question. We say, you know, God, what do you want me to do? What do I do now? What do I do next? God, what do you want me to do? Instead of asking God that, maybe we want to ask this. God, who do you want me to become? Who do you want me to become? Not, God, what school do you want me to go to? But God, who do you want me to be when I'm at that school and walking down those halls? Maybe not, God, who should I marry? But maybe you ought to ask the question, God, how do you want me to treat the person that I'm dating today? How do you want me to treat that person now? And let me give you an example of me. You see, I believe with all my heart that God has put a call on my life to preach the gospel. And I absolutely know that it's God's will for me to be holy, right? And so if we look at this objectively in a way, we could say it this way. Preaching is a calling, but it's a completely secondary calling, because my primary calling is to be holy. That's what God called all of us to do, is to be holy. You see, it's a who before a do. You see, God's will is for me to have integrity. God's will is for me to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And then I'll be able to test God's will for my life. And so God's will is for me to die selfishly to my desires and to live for his glory and how I love and how I treat people, you see? God's will is for me to lay down my life, to love my wife as Christ loved the church. God's will for me is to live a life in front of my kids that would cause them to live a life that is glorifying to God. You see, preaching for me is a secondary calling, but living a holy life is my primary calling. And can I say it's your primary calling as well? Our primary calling is to live a holy life. And so if we look at it, I mean, even if I was a good preacher, but I neglected my family, then I'm not in God's will, am I? You see, if I did my very best, but I still neglected my family and I didn't love others, then I wouldn't be in God's will. You see, you can play it out however you will in your life. You know, if you're a successful person at whatever it is that you do, but you're not being kind to people and you're not showing love to people, then you're not in God's will either. And I'm convinced for me and in my life that God would rather have me do anything else with my career, do anything else with integrity than to be a pastor without integrity. He'd rather me do anything else with integrity than to stand up here without integrity. I believe that wholeheartedly because my primary calling for my life is to be holy. And it's your primary call in your life, no matter what you do, to do it with integrity. And so when we're talking about God's will, is there one perfect career path for you to choose? Is there just that one perfect path for God's will? Is there that one perfect place for you know, to live that's in God's will? And here's the big one. Is there that one perfect person for you to marry that's in God's will? Well, I hate to break your romance on that, but I got to tell you no. The answer is no, and I can prove it to you, okay? How many of you know somebody that obviously they completely married the wrong person? You know, like your Uncle Bob married Aunt Betty and they fought like cats and dogs and now they're not married anymore, you know? So guess what they did? If that's the case, guess what they did? They messed up the whole system. They messed up the whole system. And think about it. One wrong marriage could mess up their whole thing if that was the case. But that's not the case. So see, God's not choosing one perfect person for you to marry as much as he wants you to become like Jesus so that you treat the person that you do marry the way that Jesus called you to treat her or to treat him. You see where this is going? You see what I'm saying? You see, this is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says this, he says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do it for the glory of God. So, like, wherever you live, live there for the glory of God and treat your neighbors as Christ treats you and love them like he loves you. So whoever you're dating, date with integrity and purity for the glory of God. Do it for the glory of God. Wherever it is that you work, work there for the glory of God. If you mow lawns for a living, make the best straight God-honoring lines you can make out there and do it for the glory of God. Amen? You see, you need to treat people with love and respect and exceed their expectations at times, right? And do it for the glory of God. Because whatever you do, we need to do it for his glory. Because we all want God's will for our future. Most of your hands went up when I asked that question. But I want you to see something. Tomorrow is not a guarantee. In fact, when you think about it, the only time that you can serve Jesus for certain is today. We're not promised tomorrow. So the only way you can for certain please God and be in his will is to serve him today. So it's more about a who than it is a do. And God's will for you and for me is to be holy. Amen? Amen? And so this leads me to a question. Where do you need to become more like Jesus? Where in your life is it pride? Is it anger? Lust? Greed? Insecurity? Fear? Doubt, The list could go on and on, couldn't it? But where are you at today? Where do you need to become more like Jesus? I want you to think about this. I don't want to quickly pass this moment. I want you to literally, in your heart and in your mind, Jesus, how can I become more like you? And I want you to let God do a work in your heart this morning. Not like, what is your will for my future? But God, who do you want me to be today? Who do you want me to be today? And you might say, well, you know what? I know that I feel like God wants me to do things, big things in the future. And that's awesome. But let me tell you, if you want to do things, big things for God in the future, do you know how you do that? You do small things for the glory of God today. I promise you, do the small things today, because if you're faithful in the small things, God will give you, he'll trust you with more, won't he? So it's the small things that leads to the big things. And can I tell you something? Something else? Sometimes the small things are the big things. Sometimes raising your babies to love Jesus, that's the big thing. Loving the people in your life the way Jesus wants you to love them, that's the big thing. And so if you want to do big things in your life and in your future, do small things today that honor God. So here's what we're going to do. God is calling you and I to be holy. That's what his word says. His will for us is to be holy, to be set apart, not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will. You see, I'm quoting scripture to you today. And when you get into God's word, you can be confident that your job doesn't matter as much as what matters in your heart. Where you live doesn't matter as much as who you're becoming. While the world, they may celebrate what you do, I want you to understand that Jesus celebrates who you are. Our Heavenly Father, he celebrates who you are. And so we start with a who before a do. And the best way to find God's will for the future is to live faithfully for Jesus today. Amen? Stand with me if you will. I believe that the Lord wants to speak into our hearts today. I believe that he has something in each and every one of us that he's pointing out. He might just be drawing it to your attention today. I'm not living holy in this area of my life or that area of my life. And this morning, God is wanting us to recognize that and to admit it and to bring it to him and to say, God, I realize I'm failing here and I need your help. God, I know that I'm not holy in this aspect of my life, but God, I want to bring it to the foot of the cross this morning and I want you to take it and I want you to help me with it. I believe God is speaking to someone in this room today. I know he's speaking to me. So as you're praying today and nobody's looking around, let me just ask you this question. Are there things in your heart, things in your life that aren't holy? If there's an area that you're putting your wants and your desires and your needs before God's will, if that's you this morning, just raise your hand. And I want you to know, my hand's up. It's up. See, none of us are perfect. There's always going to be an area of our life where we fail, where we let him down. But the thing is that we strive today. We strive today to be holy. And I just want you to lift that, raise your hands like holy hands. The Bible talks about lifting up holy hands, doesn't it? And I just want us to just begin to worship in our heart. And I want us to take a holy moment here. And I want us to just examine our hearts and our lives today. God, I thank you that you called us to live a holy life. Not because we deserve it, but it's by your grace through Jesus that you forgave our sins and you called us to be set apart from this world. And so today, God, before we worry about tomorrow, God, help us live for you today. Help us to live like you today. Would you just repeat this? If your hands are in the air, would you say, whatever I do, I'll do it for the glory of God. That's what he wants from you today. As you continue to pray, I also know that there's people in this room today that you're not living a holy life. You know it. You know that you haven't asked Jesus to forgive your sins. You haven't even asked him into your heart. You're not living a holy life, set apart and sacred and dedicated to him. And I want you to know that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And so I'm not here this morning to make you feel guilty, but this is the time for you and I to realize that if we're living outside of God's will, that you're missing out on a God who loves you, and he created you to know him and to live for him and to serve him and to experience his personal will for your life. And so if that's you, what do? This morning, you confess your sins. You just confess, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have sin in my life that I haven't brought to you. And what's amazing, the Bible says that if we confess our sins to God, that he is faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how good of a God we serve. And so if that's you today and you realize that you need Jesus, would you just raise your hand up? And we're going to pray with you. You see, church, this is a holy moment right now. This is a holy moment. And as a family of God, I just want us to pray together. Let's don't let anyone pray alone. So everybody, let's just pray this prayer, if you would. Heavenly Father, I give you my life. Jesus, save me from my sins and fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can hear your voice, so I can do your will. And God, today my life is not my own. I give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. We serve an awesome God. And if you just gave your heart to Jesus, let me tell you, we want to know about it. There's a card in the back of that seat. I would love it if you'd just write your name on there. I'm not going to come visit you unless you want me to, but most of you don't. I understand that. But if you would, just write that down, because I'd love to send you something in the mail that gives you your next step so that you can continue this journey towards Jesus and becoming more like him and less like us. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Have a great week. I'll pray for you and you pray for me, okay? God bless you.